Now we are worshiping the Lord, giving thanksgiving to God for Chuseok Conference. And you may think like this, why did he choose Romans after we have heard the message of Isaiah? And some of you might think that, oh, because, you know, Dr. Kim has written his doctorate on Romans, that's why, you know, it is comfortable for him. Maybe that is why he is preaching. And I don't know whether you guys remember or not, but last week I was supposed to be preaching. And this was the text that I prepared to preach actually last week. But thankfully, I was busy because of the kindergarten youth camp. So, you know, Pastor Kim preached for me. And just as I said, after Chuseok Conference, I have received tremendous blessings. And as we have seen in the show, we have received a lot of grace through the sermon. And beyond that, we also had abundance of God throughout the conference, you know, during every single schedules of the conference. And throughout the conference, I deeply felt that God's kingdom is truly coming to us, is truly upon us. And as we have heard, the word of God, you know, and all the elements of the kingdom of God is all integrated in his kingdom. And all his glory is also being poured to us without any limitation. And that's the integration that Pastor Kim is saying. And I believe that, you know, this conference was a good example of that abundance of kingdom of God. And as you know, Romans was written by Apostle Paul, and Romans chapter 8 is one of the core. You can say that Romans chapter 8 is the core of the book of Romans. And I would dare to call this chapter as a chapter that talks about the integration of the kingdom of God, because in these short paragraph, you can already see the calling of God to his kingdom, to his salvation. And first, what God has integrated to us is his word. And when we have the integrated God's word, we will begin to open our eyes to have that eyes to see how God is ruling over each individual, ruling over the people and nation. And when we experience that integration, we get to know how we should live in his scale, in his level. And when we live under his scale, you also can interpret how you should interpret the things that are going around you. And as we have seen in the book of Isaiah, the great manifestation of God's revelation through Isaiah was not just simply being able to prophesy about Israel, who is about to fall because of their betrayal to God, but also the greatness of his prophecy was being able to see upcoming Jesus, who will come even, you know, a few hundred years later. But that integration also came among us through the Holy Spirit. So as we share today's word, let's receive once again the integration that God has fulfilled among us throughout the conference. So let's first look at verse 18. And for your information, I only wrote one page of a script for you. And I can finish this within 5 minutes. And if I try to do, I can preach in 3 hours as well. So anyways, let's look at the Word of God. And this is a very popular, famous verse of Apostle Paul. And Pastor Kim said that he can see how the earth is moving and rotating. And I may not be as great as him, but through this message, through this word, I was able to also, you know, see and experience how God is ruling. Anyways, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And this part can only be understood to us only when we read the next part. So we will also have Rome conference, right? And these church members of Roman church were not great people who had luxurious life like royalties, but they were instead laborers who always were persecuted by their neighbors, and they had difficulties in their daily lives. And that's what Paul is telling to those people. And he's saying that what you are suffering right now cannot be compared to the glory that will come to you later. Then people might question again, why can't those sufferings be compared to the glory? So from verses 19 to 22, he is talking about the relationship between us and the creation. And then later, he talks about the perspective of the children of God until verse 25. And verses 26 and 7 talks about the perspective of the Holy Spirit. And the last verses talk about like a summarization of what we have seen. So let's look at verse 19 first. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." And two important words are creation and sons of God. So when we say creation, what are you being reminded of? What kind of book in the Bible do you get reminded of? Genesis, right? And actually, sons of God also appear in the creation, in Genesis as well. You know, last week, I gave a lot of lectures, so even though I know that you guys are not answering, I'm giving you a lot of questions. Okay, so, you know, you don't have to, you know, have that burden that you need to answer to me. And when we talk about children of God, when we talk about Son of God, we normally think of Jesus. But sons of God, it is written in plural tense, right? And where else can you find the sons of God? It's written in Genesis chapter 6. And it says, you know, sons of God married to the worldly daughters, and this and that happened. And then it is written that they became flesh, and God said that I will no longer be with them. And that moment when Cain's descendant began appears in chapter 6. So now creation is really longing for the sons of God to appear. And when we talk about sons of God, we are not referring to these physical relationship. So when we first think about sons of God, we can relate that to the descendants of Seth. And one of the most important times, important moments of the creation was when God created humans. Because when he created the whole creation, the whole universe, he needed someone who can rule over those creation with God's authority. And that was the man, that was human being. So God created us and appointed us as royal beings who can represent his authority and his rule. And verse 19 says like this, "The creation the creation is longing for that children of God to appear. And that longing does not just simply mean that they are just spending time for that desired time to come. But instead, this is referring to how much they are eager and anticipated to see the appearance of children of God. So no matter how you live, this creation is destined to just to be destroyed without seeing the sons of God to appear. And verse 20 and 21 also says that the creation who are subjected to futility, and, you know, it uses those kind of expressions. So, you know, when you think of the purpose of creation, how was the shovel? Why was the shovel created? Why, you know, for what do you make shovel? You use it to dig the ground. You don't use it to, you know, eat the rice, right? So when you lose your purpose of your creation, no matter how you live, your life will be vain. No matter what you do, no matter who you meet, no matter what you do, even if you live well on this earth, if you have lost your purpose, then you will not manifest anything through your life. And look at this world. No matter how hard people live, no matter how developed the civilization become, ultimately, what we are seeing right now is the world that can never avoid its futility, the world that has lost their identity and purpose. So what are we always emphasizing? Even to the young adults, we always say, hey, don't look at the world. Don't look at the people. Don't try to, you know, gain more certificates or anything like that. The reason why we say that is not because it itself is bad. And it is not like, you know, we have a better option. No, but when we follow that order of the world, we also will lose our purpose and live in that vanity. Right? After we graduate, after we get a good job, after we get married, if we still don't have any purpose, we will end up confessing that, oh, it is vain. And then you will only seek for the pleasures of the world. So, you know, everybody in the world right now is just despairing. And even this young generation lose their visions and hopes. So, you know, that's inevitable when we live following the flow of this world. Because we will only end up losing the purpose. We will only end up being rotten. But there is one reason why we can get out of that corruption. Which is to have the sons of God to appear. And why is that appearance of sons of God so important? Because that is the order that God used to create this world. When God created this world, He didn't appoint this authority to anyone else, but He gave the authority to rule to his sons who resembles him. But at the moment, the appearance of his sons is not complete. And of course, God is still working, but sons of God have not fully revealed themselves. So in verse 21, it also says like this, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory to the children of God. So when the children of God appear, all the creation will also join the freedom of glory. I mean, you have heard it, right? You have heard it before. And when that glory comes, it comes with a taste. It comes with a taste of abundance. And the conference was amazing, right? It was so amazing that, you know, for 3 nights straight, 1,200 people were able to eat ice cream. And in every conferences, we always confess that, oh, you know, we're so full. Everybody shares the snack that they bring and they share it with one another. And that's why we end up getting weight. And I believe that is the glory, abundance of glory. And, you know, whenever we have time, we enjoy, you know, worshiping God, we experience deliverance. And, you know, it was all festival of God, right? And when kingdom of God comes, that's what happens to us. And what is the freedom of glory? Freedom of glory is referring to the freedom of royal being. In another word, it means that when the sons of God achieve that freedom of glory, not only they will be free, but also the whole creation will not be bound by these oppression of the corruption, and they will also restore the purpose of their creation as well. And then let me ask you a question. Then who are these sons of God? I don't have a son, so I don't know quite well. But who are the sons of God? It is us. And when we say us, it is not just us who are in this physical place, but it is referring to that glorious church that we have heard, that remnants. They are all sons of God. Because who are the glorious church? The glorious church is the church that rules over the creation with the authority of God. And these remnants are the motivation of the whole universe to live. That's how important we are. And what I have seen through the conference is that God is now preparing for his sons to appear. More precisely speaking, he has already chosen his sons. And now God is showing the uniqueness of his sons. And when you give birth to your child will begin to resemble you as he grows. And whenever people see your baby, they will say, oh, you know, he looks just like you. She looks just like you. And whenever your kids, you know, cause trouble outside, you know, the parents will fight with one another saying that, you know, that's what you used to do, you know. He does something just like you. And it's natural for a child to resemble his father. And one of the characteristics of the freedom, glory, is being free. So, you know, who is the king? King is rich. King eats a lot of good food. He dresses nicely. He lives in a good castle, right? But that's not the only characteristics of the king. The real characteristic that the king alone has is that no one can dare to mess with the king. So who is this king? King is the most free person. And if you are not free, it means that you are being bound by something. You are being oppressed by something that even if you want to do something, you cannot. But who are these royal beings? These are the beings who can do anything freely, who will not be bound to any other orders, who will not kneel down before any other forces, so that these beings can do whatever God desires for them to do. And in another word, the freedom of glory is freedom of glory means that we can freely exert the authority of royal beings. So we all know this story of Kingdom of God, right? What is our conclusion? We will freely unleash the kingdom of God wherever we go. And that is the season that we're living in. So, verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Do you also hear the pain of creation? And as you can see, all these natural disasters and these calamities that are happening are showing us the sign that, you know, He is coming soon, and the creation is also desiring for Him to return. And of course, those wars and disasters are already prophesied. And what do they mean? These wars and disasters. It means that the creation is groaning, so that they can wait for that King that God has prepared for us. And when Messiah, when the King who comes in the descendant of David, that's when the complete government of the earth will finally happen. And as we know, who will He rule with when He comes? He will not only rule by Himself, but also, just as He's doing right now, He's already gathering the people who will rule with Him. And we shouldn't just think that, oh, the world is going into difficulty, you know, the economy is going on a downslide. But instead, we need to know that the creation is waiting for the sons of God to appear. So in that sense, we are such an important being because we know the Word of God and we are listening to the Word of God. And if we haven't listened to the Word of God, how could we know this? But God has given us His Word. Even though this is something that we cannot completely embrace by ourselves, but regardless of who we are, God is keep unraveling and unfolding His Word through us. O Yeolbang Church, O Zoe Ministry, you royal beings, I want you to rule over this universe and creation according to my will. That's the calling that we have responded to Him, right? For example, as we open up our conferences and as we go out to RTs, we already witness them, right? And one common thing that I have experienced throughout all those things is that people always come to me and say, people all say that, oh, you know, these pastors need help, these people need help. And what do they mean? It means that people also know that a church must rise up who has this King's authority. And we are not just talking about politics and some kind of interest that we only have. But what we are doing is the work of the King. How can a king be interested in his own life? If that king is a good king, then he must do everything. He must use all his authority to protect his people so that his people can live happily. So the reason why God has given us this word of the King is because He wants us to go out to unleash the word of God to the people. And I also believe that God's glory will also be poured upon our teas and all the things that we do. So this creation is groaning. And what is this picture that we are seeing here? And Deacon Taeyong recently got his third child. And And Brother Sunjin also gave birth to his daughter. And so, you know, Taeyong's youngest son's name is Jiu. Anyways, you know, Chaeju is one of is the name of a popular actress who used to act many years ago. Anyways, this groaning of creation is referring to pain of childbirth. And in Book of Galatians, Paul also says, in order to create the image of God in you, I'm going through the pain of childbirth. And he's using the same word pain here. And those of you who have given birth might know why Paul has used this expression. And in modern days, you know, the medical system has been developed so much that it is much safer now. But back in the days, many mothers died during the laboring. And during the childbirth, it is so urgent and everybody is very tensed. And giving birth is very painful, as you know. It is one of the most painful pains that you can experience. And I was with my wife, you know, every time when she gave birth. So, you know, I know a little bit, you know. You know, these thicknesses in front of me are looking at me with this glaring. I mean, I really respect you, all of you who gave birth to 3, 4, 5, and 6. I mean, it's really painful. But anyways, as well as these negative side, there's always a good side of giving birth, which is, you know, you will be happy. I mean, I have also witnessed my wife, and whenever she gave birth to a child, she always smiles. Unlike all the pain that she suffers, she always, you know, smiles and shows her bright face. So this creation is suffering together in order for the sons of God to appear, but ultimately, just like giving birth, they know that it's going to be a glorious conclusion. But important thing here in the text is that they are suffering together. And verses 23 to 24 says, we are there too. And who are we? We are referring to the Roman church members and the fellow workers, fellow ministers of Paul. And Paul is saying that they have the first fruits of the Spirit. And he is referring to the Pentecost. And that's how the church was born, right? And what is the Pentecost? Pentecost is the festival that that commemorates the first fruit of the harvest. And while you celebrate that festival, the farmers would be very thankful and they would have another anticipation for the future harvesting, right? Just like that, receiving the Holy Spirit is same as receiving the first fruit of Pentecost. So those who have received the Holy Spirit not just become a better person, but those people will always end up desiring for the kingdom of God more and more. And just like Pastor Kim says, he always played the same music in his cassette tape singing that when the trumpet of the kingdom of God calls. And not only your sin is being forgiven, but also you will begin to have that desire and anticipation for the kingdom of God. That's the evidence that you have received the Holy Spirit. It is not like you want to die quickly and to go to heaven, but what you desire is to see the completion of the kingdom of God. And you're just happy to see the part of kingdom of God right now, but how much more would you be happy when you see the completion of kingdom of God? So in verse 23, we also eagerly wait and we also inwardly we wait eagerly. It is not groaning. It is different from groaning. And objectively, we have heard today through two sisters from the testimony and one pastor. They said that they confirmed that husbands are the beings who confirm your identity. So, you know, please express your gratitude to your husbands. Deaconess Seungha, did you say thank you to your husband? If you don't have a husband, then someone else is doing that job for you, so it's okay. So we are also waiting eagerly, inwardly. But that's not the groaning of despair. But because we have seen our completion, so we cannot just be satisfied at our current state. And we must have these two reactions. One is that we are really happy. We are really satisfied with this alone. And we don't care if we don't have anything in this world or not. And just like, and also our another reaction should be increasing of our desire and yearning. Lord, I yearn more. I yearn more. And I want to be more complete as you desire as well. That's why we always come before God and bow before Him so that He would pour us more grace, more grace and blessings. Lord, I want to, participate in Your complete portion. That's why we always pray, right? That's why we end up just praying and bowing down before Him. That is why these false satisfaction is our enemy, which is spirit of religion. I mean, we shouldn't be satisfied, right? When God wants to give us more. And another thing is this worldly satisfaction, thinking that, oh, because I had a good meal, I'm happy. So according to my experience, when you just get satisfied by eating good food, it may be a wrong satisfaction. And when you get satisfied by good food, it might be your old self. But not like that. Instead of being satisfied by the people, instead of being satisfied by the things that you enjoy this world, you should only be satisfied by this first fruit of God, His grace, and His mercy, and you will not stop yearning for more. And what are we waiting for? We are waiting for that redemption of our body. And in Romans 8:15, what does the Holy Spirit do? He comes and He makes us to know that we are sons of God, children of God, so that we can cry out to God, Abba, Father. Then why are we waiting for the redemption of our body? Does it mean that we are not saved? We have received that in a wrong way? But no, that's not it. As we know, kingdom of God has already come, but it has not been completed yet. So our salvation has already been given, but it is not completed, and it will be completed in the future. So people who have received the kingdom of God will desire for completion, which is being adopted as son to him. And one common thing is that we will await for his image to be shown through us. And just as God has desire for Adam, you know, who are we? We have soma. You know, Paul used the term soma. And when are we going to be saved completely? We will be saved completely when we don't have bindings of the old self anymore, so that we will not be touched by the enemy, so that we can go before him with this boldness without any shame. And even though we are tasting this already on this earth, but that completion will never be completed, never be compared to that. That's why we are eagerly waiting for that. So Paul is saying like this, for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for we hopes for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And in another word, when we are saved, the moment we become children of God, we will have a new hope. And when you look at this verse, you can say like this. In original language, you can describe this hope in this way. You know, thinking that, oh, I will be rich tomorrow just like Elon Musk is not a hope. But hope is confirming that it will be fulfilled with an evidence. That's the content of hope. When you say that you desire something, then let's say you desire for the kingdom of God, it means that you have an evidence and you are not just vaguely waiting for it, but also you will have that confirmed faith that you will believe it. So what is that hope? As we know, it is not about just going to heaven after we die. And to make it short, our hope is for the kingdom of God to come completely among us. How amazing would it be when the kingdom of God, you know, fully come among us? You know, that's what Revelation is describing, right? Just as we see, there will be no night. You know, the sunlight will be meaningless. And we won't even need the temple because God himself will be our temple. And in three-dimensional world, we may not understand what that means. But ultimately, what we will truly do in that kingdom is that we will also be kings next to him. So when we see that, you know, we cannot help but to go crazy about him. So, you know, we always have to be crazy about the kingdom of God instead of the world. When we just go crazy about the world saying that, oh, you know, there's a new car that came out recently, and that's not the right way to be crazy. And it is natural for us to go crazy about the kingdom of God, because when we meet the Holy Spirit, he always makes us to desire for his kingdom more and more. And that's the evidence of the kingdom of God coming near at us. The heavenly doors are opened. And not only we will just command the angels, we can literally see what's coming. You know, we can see, you know, what kind of angels are coming, and how glorious is this? What a glorious season. So in this season, it is so obvious for us to come before Him more and more. And what is our weakness? Our weakness is that we always concentrate on those things that we see with our eyes. And last year, I went to Egypt, and there was this place that we visited that is called Cave Church. And the tour guide said that there was this saint who used to minister that church. And that saint committed a sin through his eyes. And that saint gouged out his eyes. And, you know, we are not going to do that, right? So what I'm trying to say is that human beings are weak to what we see with our eyes. We receive information from the outside, right? We receive from what we see, what we hear. We receive information from what we smell. But all this information, out of all this information, we receive the most amount of information through what we see, right? And even these one, two-year-old babies will get used to, you know, these smartphones so easily if you allow them to use. Because what we see is so developed. What human beings see is very developed. And in another word, once you develop these things, it is hard for you to devolve that sense that you have developed. So that's why desire of our eyes is so dangerous. And, you know, when you just focus on the things that you just see, you will consider what God you will consider what God gives as an illusion. You will lose the hope of God. And you will begin to doubt and think that, oh, am I doing this right? Am I doing it right? Am I worth staying in Yeolbang Church? This is something that you heard it from many people, right? These enemies that whisper, that gives us doubt, they are always standing by us in order to deceive us. But because of this weakness of the flesh, when we focus on our weakness of the flesh, we cannot see the kingdom of God. But the true hope is not what we see. Paul is saying that what is unseen is our hope. So in another word, your achievement that you see, your possession, can never be your hope. And that is not eternal. And at the same time, he is saying that what is unseen is your true hope. So what does 1 Corinthians say? We walk by faith, not by the things that we see. Should we sing that song again? But no, because my daughter is looking at me in a weird way. Elder Kim, you want to do this too? You know, telling your son sorry for being weird. Anyways. And people who have the limitation of flesh has only one way to achieve what God has given in verse 25. For if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And that patience is waiting with hope. And verse 23 also talks about waiting And they are all same words, to wait in patience. What does it mean? It means that all you have to do is to wait with patience. You don't need anything special, but all you have to do is to listen to the word of God and to wait upon His promise. And then He will complete the rest. How simple is it? But when you live by the flesh, you cannot wait. You cannot be patient. Just like Pastor Kim says, just like the squirrel who is being afraid of the fox and who falls down from the tree, when you live by the flesh, you cannot wait patiently. In another word, you will leave from the boundaries of God's promise. Ultimately, God will lead us to His promise, but if we leave from His rule, we will end up being put under the rule of the world. And the world will say, hey, Deacon Min, come out a little bit, come out a little bit, it's okay. even if the enemy say like this, you should say, no, I shouldn't do this. That's not what Pastor said. That's not what God said. I will just wait. So, patience. And that time of patience is not meaningless. That's when we become more beautiful. And through that patience, we can fulfill God's hope. And just like finding the diamond, when you first find the diamond, you have to go through certain process to make it as a precious diamond gem. And through your patience, you will be more beautiful. We have a good model of patience in our church these days, right? Who is it? David Kim. David is being trimmed down so beautifully. And I'm imagining like, oh, what if David literally become like the statue of David? So, you know, through patience, David is becoming beautiful too, so that he will reach to his destination of hope. I don't know when that will be, but anyways. So what we need to do until the work of God is fulfilled is waiting in faith. And you may think that, oh, it's too boring. I'm not good at waiting. And sometimes we are bad at waiting, right? That's why we have verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So that is why his nickname is Comforter. The advocate, in Greek word, it is parakletos. He's speaking next to us, and he's speaking for me. He's advising for me, and he's speaking on behalf of me, and he becomes my power, he becomes my wisdom. And that is our helper. That is who he is. And in this verse, it is written that he is helping our weakness. And I said to you that, you know, I can preach for 3 hours, right? And I'm not just boasting about me, but, you know, out of this text, Paul uses a lot of new words from the Bible. And in Greek, he uses a lot of preposition shin. And this help is not like, you know, oh, you know, I want to have a coffee from the expending machine, but I don't have a coin. And, you know, normally I'm not good at, you know, asking for 101 from someone. But Holy Spirit's help is not like that. And I want to show you an example. I will receive three helpers. So deacons, please come. Would you come and help me? It's not something difficult. So what is this help? So these are the people who need help because this person's leg is hurt and he cannot stand up. But he somehow needs to come all the way up here. So when you need to help him, what should you do? Don't rush. Can you just say, oh, hey, wake up. Stand up. Just walk here. No. What you need to do is to put your shoulder to him and hold on to him so that he can stand up like this. And then you need to walk together. So that's how he helps. When Holy Spirit is helping our weakness, that's how he is helping us. He is holding our shoulders. He is helping us so that we can walk. So living by the Holy Spirit does not simply mean that he is giving us a little help from where we are lacking, but also, you know, he is waiting next to us so that he could help our weakness. So later, in verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And searching here means that you are making a research, you are studying hard. And in Psalms 139, it says, he knows where I'm standing, where I'm sitting, where I'm laying down. Which means that he knows everything about us, especially when Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. Who is this Holy Spirit? In 1 Corinthians, when I talked about human anthropologies, in 1 Corinthians 2:10, what does it say? Holy Spirit is he who knows the deepest of God. In Greek word, it means that you are searching with a lamp. So when God, who knows everything, is in me and letting us know, then why should we feel that we are alone? And when enemies attack, the pattern that I always feel is that, oh, you know, I'm alone, no one understands me. You know, it's not that, you know, I'm going through an andropause or anything, but whenever enemies attack me, I always react and say, oh, yeah, no one understands me, even my wife. Don't take it too seriously. You know, it's just an acting. My daughter's still embarrassed. But that's not it. Holy Spirit will not just abandon you. Thank you for helping me out. And that's how Holy Spirit helps us. And that's how God knows everything about us. As we heard, Israel will live as long as they have help from God. As long as they have help from God, they will not be destroyed. The only problem they have is that they are looking away from God. So whenever we ask for his help, what do? We go before God and ask for his help. And what is the common thing for those who have met him? Whenever you meet him, you receive strength from God to overcome all your difficulties. Not only you will receive $1,000 that you need, but also He will give even more. So what's the core? What's the core thing here is that He is helping us and we don't know what to ask for because we have a limitation of understanding His scale and His kingdom. But the Holy Spirit within us knows everything. So when we rely on Him, what happens? We receive the same scale that He has. And the scale of our prayer also changes. And we will not only pray for ourselves, but also we will have this perspective toward the kingdom of God as a whole, and we will understand what God wants us to pray. So not only you will pray and ask for His help for this problem to be solved, but also you will ask for His glory to come, His kingdom to come. That's how you can pray through your weaknesses. How amazing is that? It is the Holy Spirit who always pours more than what we ask for. That is why it is so important for us to pray, relying on the Holy Spirit. And that abundance is being provided to us, you know, beginning from tongue prayer, interpretation, all this anointing. And what do they create? Just like when you build an aircraft carrier, you need all the high technologies. What is the abundance of God's kingdom? God's abundance is like building an aircraft carrier that can destroy any army that it can face. And that's what God also wants to fulfill among us. That's the prayer that we can pray. And that is why we can only receive we can receive A when we ask for A. So when you command, that's why angels cannot help but to, you know, listen to our command. And I bless you so that all your scale of prayer will change. And of course, you may go before God because of your limitations and weaknesses, but when you go before Him, God will still tell you, no, that's not what you should ask. Ask for my kingdom. Ask for my kingdom. So lastly, verses 20 to 30 talks about then what is God doing? What is God fulfilling? Verse 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And you can maybe translate this in different meanings. So one is that for those who love God, all things will work together for good. That's a good translation. So who are the ones that love God? Who love God are the ones who have received God's love. And in the context of Book of Romans, these are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Sons of God are the ones who receive God's love and the ones who love God because of His love. It is so obvious for the Son to love the Father and for the Father to love His sons. And there is one thing that God wants to fulfill through His Son. And who are these people? And they are the ones who are called according to His purpose. And when God created them, He had a purpose, and He has called them because of that purpose. And when the family love each other, they do everything together, right? And when we say that we are the partner of love of God, it is not simply like, hey, don't you like the scenery here? Don't you love this? I mean, God has not only called us for this kind of emotional relationship, but also it has similar concept of business partner. You can trust this person completely so that you can invest everything. And sometimes that person can help you out and that person will never betray you. And that's one aspect of partner of love. And that is why you cannot help but to, you know, share your heart with the person and to be honest to that person. And another thing that is important is that to those who have been called, for those who are called, in Greek word, there is this dative form, and it is a little bit different from the object. So listen carefully. So what is the subject? That you are the subject of the action. But what is dative? Dative means that there is someone next to you. And now I'm drinking the water. And I'm drinking for Deacon Pan. That's one way of interpreting the datives. And when I'm drinking together with Deacon Pan, that's also a form of dative. And it is describing about the relationship of the person that you are doing the action together. And in this context, you can say, in another perspective, you can say that with those who have been called according to His will, and with those, you can work together to make good. So to the sons of God who have been called by His purpose, we can work together to create God's goodness. So how important are these people who have been loved by God? And another ancient document have added a subject and interpreted like this. With those who have been called according to His purpose, God has worked together to create His goodness. So which translation do you like more? Ultimately, I mean, they are all the same, but what are we saying here? And what does it mean that God is working together? It means that He is accompanying us. In 1 Corinthians 6:1, it says like this. Paul is saying that I am advising you as co-workers of God that do not receive God's grace meaninglessly. Paul has been saying to Church of Corinth, saying that, you know, we should not be divided by saying that I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. But instead, we should never forget our identity, which is co-workers of God. God has created us as His partner of love. And what is He doing with His partners of love? He works together so that He will make good, something good. And within that goodness, it contains our salvation, our works on this earth. So why are we going out to RT and why are we serving the whole world? Just like Pastor Kim said, if we have spent all this money and the time for ourselves, then what would have happened? But the reason why we rejected on spending those for ourselves is because that's how He has called us. And as sons of God, we cannot help but doing so. Who are the sons of God? They are the ones who work with God. They are these supreme beings, like kings. So, you know, you can only work in order to manifest God's goodness. So do you have these anticipation and inspiration as you go out to RT? You know, when you interpret someone's prayer, even though you think that you have not said something, you know, that person somehow begins to cry. And after your interpretation, you know, that person no longer become gloomy. And when you see the person, what would you think? Would you think that, oh, yes, that's who I am. You know, I will go back to the church and I will share the testimony. No. But when you are truly blessed, you will end up only confessing that, Lord, who am I? Who am I for you to use like this? And there is nobody on this earth who has the power, who has the wisdom to, you know, change a person like that. But God, who is within us, is so powerful. He is so glorious. And He has called us His companion, His co-worker. That's the confession that comes up in you, right? So let's bless one another. You are a companion of God. You are a co-worker of God. Who are we? We are the co-workers of God. We are the co-workers that God makes His good with us. Verses 29 and 30 says that the most important thing out of here is the completion of His salvation. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So, you know. So. He's asking them, what is predestination in English? Konyi. Predestination, yes. Don't forget. Well, it's not an exact translation, but anyways. Which means, predestination means that it has already been decided before. So when you ride on an airplane, when you ride on a train, you have a destination, right? So predestination means that your destination has been already decided. So when we are called by God, when we are walking with God, our destination is clear. Our destination is our glorification. That's why verse 30 says, and those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. And how is this fulfilled? Of course, through the Holy Spirit, of course, through the Word of God, but according to the book of Romans, this process is being completed as we work together with God. As I said, as we minister the Spirit, we get to know the heart of God. And also, you even feel that you even have that heart that you can give everything for this soul that God has entrusted to you. I mean, that's the heart of our Lord, right? Do you think that Jesus would have regretted when He died for us? When He saw our weaknesses? No. And our Father didn't even calculate it for the value when He sent His Son. So, when are we experiencing that love? When we meet God, right? And in this context, when we work with God, we can also feel and experience His love. So what are we going to fulfill when we work with Him. We experience the completion of our salvation. Of course, we experience that through our prayer and through our spiritual life as well. But in a sense, we experience this more when we go out to the field. I mean, there is something we can only feel once we are out there on the field. And our church members, just like our spiritual father, we love our church, right? And not just our church, but also Zoe Ministry and all the churches around the world. And even though we don't know who they are, we offer because of them. We come out to the intercession because of them. Even though we don't know who they are, we come out to the intercession and the ministry to minister them. For what? For what are we doing this? Because we have the heart of God, right? So what God created in us through this is the image of God, this pure emotion of God. This emotion that does not have any selfishness. When is this pure emotion being poured? This is poured when I cry and hold on to this soul that I really want to restore and revive. The more I embrace that soul, God shows my weaknesses, my darknesses as well. And through this process, God will complete His image. So in that sense, I can say that this season is the season that God is completing our salvation. He has called those who He has predestined. And He has made us also glorified. So what does it mean that we are glorified? This is actually the purpose of our salvation. This is which our glory is not being limited. So, you know, in Ephesians, He called us His praise of glory, right? And this is same expression as we use toward God. We glorify Him, right? And God is using that same expression to us as well. Oh, you're beautiful, Yeobang Church. You look like me. You have the same heart like me. You walk together with me so that you can respect me. That's how He's praising us. And how is the Bible using this term glory again? In Book of Acts and in Book of John. The Bible used this term glory when it describes the glory, the cross of Jesus. In Book of Acts, apostles also proclaim, God has made Jesus glorious. And this is the word that describes all the life of Jesus. And through that cross, the church can be glorious. Church can be glorified. So that's where God is leading us. And we heard the message of faith of martyrs, right? And it's not something super special, because God has destined us to be glorious. So those who have been called by Him cannot help but to participate in His, in the place where we carry His cross, carry His glory altogether. So as we return back to verse 18, I will give you another question. So for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So calculate and think about this. But during this situation, they had this reality of pain and suffering. But what is this pain? And this pain, this pain that is before us, when this glory is coming, which one is more powerful, this pain or the glory? So what is your answer? Can we compare it? It can't be compared. It can never be compared. No matter what kind of pain I'm being put into, compared to the glory of God, you know, we can never compare this. I mean, Pastor Kim said, drop an ink in the ocean. Will the ocean be polluted because of that ink? No. So that's what the glory is. The ocean will never be polluted by that ink. I mean, God has shown us all His glory. He has shown us how, you know, He is treating His people, His church. We have seen through the story of Israel, and now it's our turn. The whole earth, the whole creation is groaning. And I want us to focus on His kingdom more. I want us to live by the Holy Spirit who is guiding us. And I want us to pray according to His scale. And as we work with Him, I hope that we will have the same image like Jesus, who is our firstborn. So let's bless one another. You are the praise of glory of God. Let's bless one another. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. So let's pray. Having NB class before conference was really helpful. I think God gave me the concentration to finish everything within 1 hour. So through Isaiah conference, we received the anointing of integration, right? Do you see now why God has called us to Yeobang Church and made us to do this ministry? I mean, we have heard it before, but do you now see it with your own eyes? Then try to put yourself in the mirror and check how you are standing on that road, and what is the suffering that you are having on that path, and what is this thing that God has entrusted to you. If you cannot see the glory of kingdom of God, then we will never be able to find the answer on this earth. Just like the creation is bowing to this futility. For example, you know, you have earned the salary really hard. And the moment you come back home, you know, bringing the envelope that contains the salary, you somehow dropped your money into the sewer. So what would you do when you try to say that to your wife? And the next month, you work harder and you decide in your heart that, oh, I will never lose it again. And then you drop the money again. Then, you know, so you can see the picture, right? And including myself, if we cannot see God, our life will always be like that. No matter how hard we work, we will never achieve. No matter how hard we try, we will never see the fruit. And it will only end up being the burden for us. But that's not how we should live, right? We have been enlightened, right? Our eyes have been enlightened. We now have the eyes to see the kingdom of God. We now have the eyes to see the integration of God's kingdom. So, we have no reason to wonder anymore. we should not doubt anymore. No reason for us to doubt. So let's pray again. Lord, that is true. The order of kingdom of God is moving among us. The glory of the kingdom of God we can never imagine is coming at us. And Lord, as you are establishing that glory to the church, as you are making Israel to go through a great suffering, I believe that you are making that process to come upon us. Lord, open our eyes. And especially, Lord, to this Israel peace march. Lord, pour your glory. Pour the same glory and the anointing that you have poured upon the conference of Isaiah, so that all the confusion and doubts would be disappeared, so that we can have a new perspective, so that we can return this earth to you. Help us to have this faith so that we can receive this promise from you. Lord, that is true. Give us your kingdom. Lord, we are your heirs who have received your kingdom. Lord, we are your co-workers. Lord, let this glory be poured upon all the churches, all the remnants. And Lord, not only to us, but also to all the remnants who are fighting their spiritual battles of faith. Lord, let them all receive this. You are my glory. I have given you my glory. The sons of God, rise up. Sons of God, rise up. Let the royal beings rise up. Take off. Take off all the clothing of shame. Lord, pour out more. Pour your glory more powerfully. Not only in this place, but also in Good Morning Plaza as well. Lord, let your image be completed in us. Holy Spirit, come and work powerfully among us. I know everything about you. I'm searching for you. I will help you. I will show you my kingdom. Father, let your work be manifested among us without any limitation. All the spirit of prophecy, spirit of wisdom. Lord, pour out your anointing of wisdom among us. Let all the spirit of pain flee away. Be loosened completely from the child to the adult.
Amen.
Pastor Kim also said this. We are not just the beings who should just take care of ourselves, but also we are the beings who need to take care of the kingdom of God. So Lord, that is true. That is your will. That is your desire. Lord, I gladly receive your will. Lord, expand our scales, expand our views. Lord, at this time, send your angels. And Lord, send your power like fire. And fill this place with your fire so that your glory will be shown.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you.
Lord, because of your grace, we have finished the conference well. We have taken the spoil of victory. Lord, Yeolbang Church is reaching the new peak. But Lord, because of our long ministry, we are tired down. But Lord, help us to be restored in your purification. And just as Pastor Yun Jong preached, Lord, help us to fulfill your glorification in our life.
Lord, we may look different. We may have all different images, but Lord, help us to all know that we are all in your picture. Help us to become light so that we can run toward you whenever you want. And Lord, be with all the cell members who are going out for RTs. And Lord, many churches have been blessed by our church members during the conference. That's why we also have to go out again and again. Lord, bless them abundantly and work upon them with your power and authority. Work upon them with your church and let your will be done through them. Lord, I bless all these offerings that are given before you. Lord, in this day of deficiency, Lord, our community is devoting with all their life. Lord, just like this fountain that is not being dried, Lord, let them be filled with your abundance and let them also give more with this loving heart to you so that they can enjoy the abundance of your kingdom. Lord, not because of who we are, but because of your love, because of your will, because of your tremendous grace and love toward your church. Lord, help us to know that that's why we are living. Let this community be willing to give our lives to you gladly. And let our names be a fearful name to our enemies. Lord, bless them freely and freely. Upon their businesses, their children, wherever they go, wherever they touch, let them be the kingdom of God. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and love of the Father, and the indwelling communion, comfort, encouragement of the Holy Spirit be with all the church members who desire for the kingdom of God, and upon their family, their workplace, their businesses, upon this people, nation, and upon beloved missionaries and mission field, upon the Yeolbang Church and Zoe Ministry from now on and forevermore. Amen.